Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Maitreya uvacha.
Maitreya uvacha.
Vrincho pitata chakre.
Vrincho pitata chakre.
Divyam varsha shatam tapaha.
Divyam varsha shatam tapaha.
Atmanyatmanam avishya.
Atmanyatmanam avishya.
Yataha bhagavan ajaha.
Yataha bhagavan ajaha.
Maitreya uvacha. Vrincho pitata chakre.
Vrincho pitata chakre.
Divyam varsha shatam tapaha.
Divyam varsha shatam tapaha.
Atmanyatma nama vishya.
Atmanyatma nama
vishya. Yataha bhagavan ajaha.
Yataha bhagavan ajaha.
Vrinchaha.
Vrinchaha.
Maitreya
uvacha.
The great sage Maitreya said. Vrinchaha. Brahma. Api. Also. Tata.
In that manner.
Chakre.
Performed.
Divyam.
Celestial.
Varsha shatam. 100 years. Tapaha. Penances.
Atmani.
Unto the Lord.
Atmanam.
His own self.
Avishya.
Engaging.
Yataha,
as it was spoken.
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead.
Ajaha,
the unborn. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The greatly learned sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, Brahma thus engaged himself in penances for 100 celestial years, as advised by the personality of Godhead, and applied himself in devotional service to the Lord. Purport. That Brahma engaged himself for the personality of Godhead, Narayan, means that he engaged himself in the service of the Lord. That is the highest penance one can perform for any number of years. There is no retirement from such service, which is eternal and ever encouraging. Did we read this yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday you read
four.
Two verses. You finished it. Now we can read another verse.
Yeah. Which one was it? Two and three?
No, three and four. Three, you finished.
We did this yesterday. So I'll read the next verse. Okay. Tad vilokyabja sambhuto.
Tad vilokyabja sambhuto.
Vayuna yadadishtitaha.
Vayuna yadadishtitaha.
Padmam angbas chatatkala.
Padmam angbas chatatkala.
Krita virhena kampitam.
Krita virhena kampitam.
Translation and purport. Thereafter, Brahma saw that both the lotus on which he was situated and the water on which the lotus was growing were trembling due to a strong, violent wind. Purport. The material world is called illusory because it is a place of forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. Thus, one engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the material world may sometimes be very much disturbed by awkward circumstances. There is a declaration of war between the two parties, the illusory energy and the devotee. And sometimes the weak devotees fall victim to the onslaught of the powerful illusory energy. Lord Brahma, however, was sufficiently strong by the causeless mercy of the Lord, and he could not be victimized by the material energy, although it gave him cause for anxiety when it managed to totter the existence of his position. It gave him cause for anxiety when it managed to totter the existence of his position. So this is a frightening situation. Not only was he at a loss to know how to proceed, but now it looks like he may be in danger. You know, everything is shaking. Maybe the universe is going to fall apart before he gets a chance to even construct anything. So this is the predicament of someone who wants to create in this world. How can you create something? How can you create something that's going to last when the way that things go in this world is everything's always falling apart? There is destruction. Destruction is inevitable for everything. There, ultimately, the whole universe will be destroyed, and even Brahma must die. That is Prakriti pralaya. And then there is periodic pralaya. At the end of every day of Brahma, most of the world, the lower planets, are destroyed. But Brahma doesn't have to worry much about that, although it is a botheration to him. He has to wake up every morning and remember who he is and what he's supposed to do. He has to take initiation again. Perform austerities for 1,000 Divya Yugas. Although for him, 1,000 heavenly years is not so long. Yeah. But still, he has to take trouble. You know, we have to take trouble in the morning to brush our teeth, chant our Gayatri, like that. You know, it's a few minutes, but it seems like forever, subjectively. Yeah, we don't know how we're going to manage to do those few things. Brahma also, in his objective standard of time, it's just a few seconds, a few minutes. But, when you get up in the morning, it's hard to do anything. So much trouble every day, because the universe has been messed up and has to be recreated every morning. Just like some student or somebody has parties in this house at night, and in the morning the whole place is a mess and he has to clean it up. Like that. The universe has been messed up completely and he has to recreate it every morning. Imagine every day, not only we have to, get up, take breakfast, drive to work, we have to create a whole universe every morning. Pretty bothersome. This is the force of destruction. How it makes it hard to do anything in this world, especially to create something, when everything is pushing in the opposite direction, toward destruction. This is the law of entropy, of constant movement toward chaos, away from order and toward chaos. And you're trying to put things in order. It's not easy. And then there's constant destruction, under the control especially of Lord Mahadev. You know, if I leave an apple on the table for 2 days, it starts to rot. It turns black, green and black and smelly because the fungus is eating it. But that's actually Lord Shiva executing the process of constant annihilation of everything. Our own bodies are constantly being annihilated. We may be young and we may be growing, but while we're growing, we're also falling apart. And then when we get past the age of 30, we're falling apart more than we're growing. Yeah. But we've been falling apart, we've been dying since the day we were born. Constant annihilation. The fungus are not just eating the apples, they're eating us also. So that's what a creator has to struggle against. It makes it very difficult to accomplish anything, especially if you're working in the mode of passion. As Prabhupada pointed out, nothing created in the mode of passion could be permanent. So this universe cannot be permanent. It was created in the mode of passion. It can last a long time, but it can't be permanent. Now those who are situated in the mode of goodness, they can create something that's permanent.
you know, the fame of a one who creates from a pure heart. Maybe he doesn't create universe, but he creates literature or music. You know, that will be remembered until as long as the sun and the moon last. That's more or less permanent creation. And then someone who's situated in Vishuddha Sattva, he can create his spiritual life, or he can evoke his eternal spiritual life by surrendering to Krishna. That's an eternal creation. Otherwise, everything you create, because creation is done in the mode of passion in the material world. Therefore, all creations are temporary. And those who want something permanent are going to be frustrated. Brahma's not frustrated because he's not expecting to create anything permanent. He's just doing his job. He knows it's going to be messed up next morning. He has to create it again. But he's just doing his service, so he's not frustrated. Look at the great devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the greatest preacher of our time. He established 64 Gaudiya Mutts all over India and a couple of outside of India. And they got messed up. Yeah. But his mission is a success anyway. You know, we don't judge by external, by the external symptoms. The devotee's mission is a success even if it externally appears to be a failure. Arjuna was such a great hero. In the end, he was defeated by some ruffian gwalas, coward men, who stole the queens of Dwarka. Simple job, just escort these ladies to Mathura. He couldn't do it. Krishna withdrew his empowerment. And Arjuna was defeated by some petty rogues. Actually, it was Krishna himself in disguise. But still, Arjuna thought, this is ridiculous. Now that Krishna's gone, my power is gone. My prowess. So our mission may seem to be frustrated, but we shouldn't, if we're actually cultivating the attitude of pure devotion, we should not be discouraged by apparent failure. Our success is simply to satisfy Krishna by our attempt. Whether we achieve something measurable, something that would be glorified in the eyes of the world, that doesn't matter. Of course, that's demands maturity to be able to tolerate failure and go on. But that's what it requires to achieve something in this world, especially in Kali Yuga. You want to preach? You're going to have to put up with apparent failure, a lot of it, and frustration, and go on. Srila Prabhupada did. He went on for years and years with no apparent success, even after coming to America. For at least 1 year, he had no disciples. 1 year. Right? I mean,
yeah.
And then what about all the years before he came to America? He was trying to preach. It's a householder he was trying to preach. He was trying to preach in Jhansi. He was trying to preach in Delhi. And all he could do was sell a few magazines. So, apparent failure, apparent frustration, but Prabhupada persevered. He was satisfied. I have the mission of my Guru Maharaj and I'm trying to carry it out. And he's pleased with me. So that should be our attitude. My spiritual master has asked me to do my assigned service. I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability. And he seems to be satisfied with me. So therefore my life is a success. That's a mature Krishna consciousness beyond the mode of passion. So Brahma also, although he's the avatar of Rajogun, his consciousness is higher than that. He's doing Rajogun service, but his consciousness is beyond Rajogun, beyond mode of passion. He's situated in pure Krishna consciousness. Maybe not every Brahma, other Brahmas in other universes, but our Brahma is transcendental, and therefore he's not only our creator, but he's our guru. We've joined his sampradaya because of his spiritual status. We accept him as spiritual master. Unfortunately, Brahma was cursed by Mother Saraswati to not have any devotees in Kali Yuga. So, you know, and he's only worshipped in Pushkar, in the second place somewhere.
Thailand?
Well, in Thailand, but that's another thing. Yeah, a few temples. The Prabhupada said somewhere there's only two. But Pushkar is a place of Brahma and somewhere else.
Whether they're authorized or not.
Yeah. Well, they've been unauthorized by Mother Saraswati. So we don't see Brahma being worshipped as a demigod so much, but that's okay. We honor him as our spiritual master. Srimad Bhagavatam highlights the instructions of Brahma. In many places, Brahma is the speaker in the Bhagavatam. There are certain persons, Brahma and Narada especially, who get top billing in Srimad Bhagavatam, are we coming back to speak over and over again. Because these are our gurus. Brahma's the first, Narada is the second. And then Vyasa's the third, and he wrote this whole book. Although Bhagavatam is also received in the other sampradayas, it's mentioned Sankarsana spoke to Sanat Kumara, he spoke to Sankaryana Rishi. He spoke to Narada? I don't know. Then Parashara. Anyway, that's Maitreya. So the Bhagavatam was received in that line, and this is what we're hearing now in the third canto and fourth canto, is the Bhagavatam that was received in the Sanat Kumara Sampradaya. It's the same Bhagavatam. We share the same book. But it's received in all the Vaishnava Sampradayas. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Yes,
Brian? То есть у нас есть внутренняя и внешняя деятельность. И я слышал в лекции, говорится, что мы должны внутри быть поглощены осознанием Кришны, а внешне действовать так, как Прабхупада установил в обществе сознание Кришны. Если он установил какую-то структуру. И вопрос заключается в том, что это каким это образом делать? Это делать одновременно или часть дня делать так, часть дня делать так, потому что достаточно противоречивые вещи. Погружение в какую-то баджану или что-то какое-то проявление своих качеств и действия, то, что, допустим, гуру или старшие преданные сказали. То есть как вот это понять? Понимаете вопрос? А есть внутренняя и внешняя жизнь. И между ними есть разница. И говорится, что мы должны внутренне быть погружены во внутреннюю жизнь, а внешне действовать так, как Прабхупада научил нас
искренне. And the rules and regulations which Srila Prabhupada gave in for this society for some external activity. And the question is how to combine these two. Should we do this simultaneously or some part of the day, one type of activity, another part of the day, another type of activity?
Actually, our sadhana bhakti program,
first of all, it's completely spiritual, it's not material. It may be external in the sense we use our external senses. And we do it in the external world, but it's not a material activity, sadhana bhakti. And the sadhana bhakti program is not only external, it's also internal cultivation. We're practicing hearing and chanting, and to some extent remembering. It's just that this is preliminary to the advanced, mature practice of raghunuga bhakti. In Raghunuga Bhakti, there's a real distinction between our inner and outer lives. You know, our outer life is just, you know, we become beggars, sort of avaduta. We just, you know, we just have no business with the material world practically at all. Go out and do madhukari and, you know, beg a few chapatis, and that's our only business with the whole external world. And internally, we're living a very rich life. So there is a difference on the higher levels of devotional service between your inner and outer lives. But while we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, there's not much difference. You know, it's one process that includes our mental activities and our bodily activities. You know, hear a chant about Krishna and meditate on the sound of the mantra. And we live in the association of devotees, we think about devotees, we think about serving them. You know, so our mental and our external lives are not really different when we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. They become more different later on, when we graduate to Raghunuga Bhakti. You know, so we're living in a practical world, in the Vaidhi Bhakti process. We're still inhabitants of the material world, but we're trying to make everything spiritualized. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, connect everything with Krishna. Yeah, but we're not pretending to be Paramahamsas. You know, we're completely detached from everything. But also we don't want to be involved in anything material. We do things in this world, but we do them only in connection with Krishna. Otherwise, you know, we're deviating. If we do anything that's not for Krishna, then that's a deviation from Vaidhi Bhakti. I may like to play the guitar. There may be an opportunity to use that in Krishna's service. But if it's not for Krishna's service, playing the guitar is Maya. Even though I've done it all my life. If there's no opportunity to do it for service, then put it aside. We don't have time to waste. So anything that's not for Krishna's service is a deviation. That's the standard in Vaidhi Bhakti. But that involves both our external and our bodily and also our mental activities. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
There you go. Well,
maybe at the time he wrote it, Krishna's commentary wasn't easily available, but that's hard to see because there are so many copies of Srila Swami's commentary.
Well, not only that, but I'm saying it's exactly verbatim.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he adds a little bit at the end, but basically it's exactly the same thing, the same order.
A lot of times, but he, you know, when he adds something, it's really radical. He gives us a personal realizations of things that could not be found in any shastra. He gets to the 10th canto. Well, it's either one or two things. Either the readers of Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary would have been familiar with Sridhar Swami's, or they didn't have access to it. Mm. If they didn't have access, he was doing a service by providing it.
Yes.
And if they were familiar with it, they would have known it. They would have known that he was just repeating Sridhar. So it's not some underhand plagiarism. It's either providing something that was unavailable or just repeating what everybody knows.
Yeah, I was curious.
But it's still, you know, why do that? I mean, if...
You know, given the, you know,
I guess
paucity of writing materials and everything, one would think it's somewhat redundant. But I guess not. I mean, not necessarily, I guess. The good answer you gave is the commentaries were not necessarily put together the way that they are now.
Yeah. Anyway, where and when he wrote it, Bengal, maybe in Bengal, sure, so his commentary wasn't available. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Was he still in Bengal when he wrote the Bhagavatam commentary? I don't know. This was 1670 or something, or 1665 that he finished his Bhagavatam commentary. 1663, I don't know. 80. I don't know what the situation was and where he was when he did it. Maybe because of harassment from Aurangzeb or somebody. That was earlier.
Yeah. Well, then.
There was a decline in Sanskrit learning by Vishnu Chakravarti's time. And therefore, he wrote those simple books, the trilogy and some other books, the Kana and the Bindu and the Kirana and the Raghavartma Chandrika.
Very short.
Easy books for people who couldn't read Sanskrit very well. Mm-hmm. And gave the gist of the books that they summarize. Especially because many young people couldn't, you know, weren't competent to read the original texts. So But he didn't summarize Sri Goswami's commentary. He gave it verbatim.
Well, I don't know that he did that. I'm just noticing this particular verse, and I've seen it in other authors and other texts.
Yes,
they tend to do
they
that.
They do that.
I'm
yeah.
Wondering why.
I don't know. There's one thing when you're writing a sub-commentary, but then you usually just give it chaya. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to have the original in front of you, or the manuscript includes both. Sorry, Kurt? Anyways, manuscripts were rare. You know, it wasn't easy to get a copy of anything.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't just, go to the nearest bookstore. Yeah. So maybe because, maybe it wasn't unknown, but it was hard to actually get a copy of Sri Goswami's commentary for yourself.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
Why is such a long question?
The Russian question?
No, over here.
Because it's a complex question.
So I don't stop it.
Why? What do you want to do? Discuss instead.
What am I?
Breakfast isn't ready.
No, it's not.
I know, so why stop it? Breakfast is not even ready.
Because I want to talk to you.
Okay, that you can do.
I record you a question. Ask a question.
No. See the class? Turn on your computer.
Turn on the computer?
Yeah, record the class into there.
No, Dura is going to record it onto his computer at home. And then transfer it later.
Yeah.